Is Jesus just for grown-ups? Maybe that's what some of you children think. Sometimes we grown-ups can make you think that when we use long words or when we assume that you won't be interested. Oh, the children won't want to listen. They want to be off doing something else. We all need to remember that Jesus was more interested in children than his followers were. And that Jesus was more interested in children than his followers expected him to be. Jesus wants to bless children, to do them good. So today, the whole sermon is for children. Though there will be plenty for grown-ups too. There'll be plenty for you older ones, so keep listening. Lots for all of us, but particularly for you children. So I want you to try especially hard to listen, not because it's me, but because it's God's word. And God's word is for children too. Now, today we're looking at Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 to 52. And these verses are very special verses. In fact, there are no other verses like them anywhere in the whole Bible, because these are the only verses that tell us about Jesus as a child, Jesus as a young person. And I want us to learn three things from these verses. And the first is, Jesus grew just like you. Jesus grew just like you. Now, we had that right at the end of our reading in verse 52. And Jesus increased, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, how old was Jesus when the shepherds saw him? He was less than one day old. How old was Jesus when the wise men saw him in Matthew's gospel? Well, we're not sure, but at least a number of months, maybe a year or more, maybe a toddler. How old was Jesus in the story that we read at the end of our verses? Remember? He was 12. He was 12. Jesus grew. Now, you might be thinking, of course Jesus grew. All children grow. You may not feel like that. You may wish it was a bit faster. But day by day, you're growing. You've been growing all your life. And indeed, for 9 months before you were born, you were growing in your mother's tummy. But where were you before that? And the answer is, nowhere. You weren't anywhere. There wasn't a you before that. That was the very beginning of your story. But it wasn't for Jesus. He was born. He grew for 9 months in his mother's tummy. That's one reason why unborn children are so precious. The whole society needs to take that on board. But that wasn't the start of Jesus' story. Before that, Jesus was somewhere else. He was a glorious, amazing person living with God in heaven. Where was Jesus before he was born? Before he was in his mother's womb? He was with God in heaven. He was all powerful and he knew everything, but he became tiny. And that's amazing. It's amazing that Jesus grew. And these verses tell us exactly how he grew. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He didn't just have a human body. You know, some people think of that. It's sort of Jesus has a human body and he's God inside the human body, God's spirit. But it wasn't like that. Jesus didn't just have a human body. He had a human mind. He learned things. So how could Jesus know everything and yet learn things? I guess some of you children, maybe you do maths at school, and sometimes you get a maths book and it's got the answers in the back. I remember I had, when I was learning Greek at university, I had a Greek book, and then I had this little yellow book with all the answers to the Greek book. But I'd never looked in my yellow book, because I wanted to learn. I wanted to be able to read God's word in the original. And so it was like with Jesus, that Jesus, in his godness, he knew everything. And yet, as a man, as a human being, he never cheated. He learned. Jesus grew. It's an amazing, it's a mystery. He was a real human being with a body, a mind, a memory, and yet he was fully God. It's a wonder. We can't understand it. And as a child, Jesus was perfectly normal. Now, none of you children are perfectly normal. I mean, some of the parents are thinking, yeah, we know. But none of you are. None of us is perfectly normal because we're all spoiled by sin. But Jesus wasn't. Jesus was perfectly normal. And the four ways in which he grew are the four ways in which every child needs to grow. So here's something for mum and dad. Here's a checklist. How do children need to grow? They need to grow in their minds. Mentally, they need to grow in their bodies. Physically, they need to grow in their souls, spiritually, and they need to grow as they meet with other people socially. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man, with people. Are you growing in all of those ways, children? And are you parents focusing on each of these areas and praying for developing and investing in each of these areas? Something for each of these every day, that's a good rule. Something to physical exercise activity, something mental, stimulating, even in holiday times, something spiritual, from God's word, prayer together, something social, not just a screen, but meeting other people. And so we've learned the truth that Jesus grew just like you. And truths are there to help us. That's what we call application. So how does this truth help you? Well, it helps you because it tells you that Jesus understands. Jesus understands. How old are you? Is anyone here 6? Jesus was once 6. Jesus knows 6. He knows what it's like. Or maybe you're 8 or 9. Jesus was 8. Jesus was 9. Maybe you're 12, 13. Jesus knows. Maybe you're an infant. Maybe you're a junior. Maybe you've moved up. Jesus knows all about that. He understands. He can sympathize. You can pray to him. You know, I remember vividly, my memory is so terrible that the only way I remember my family's name is that I have to keep talking to them. But my memory is so terrible, I remember very little from when I was small, but there's one thing I remember very clearly, and I don't know if I was 9 or 10, and I was learning the violin. It was cruel, really, to the neighbours. And I went to an orchestra, and one day I had to take some money, because we had a concert, and we had to take £5. And that was our sort of paying in for the concert. And I lost it. Now, we never had any money as a family to rub together, and I'd lost this £5. And I remember standing there in the dark, waiting for my parents to come and collect me, thinking, what am I going to say to them? And I remember distinctly thinking then, grown-ups think kids don't have anything to worry about. And I thought, when I'm grown up, I'm never going to belittle that, because it was an absolute disaster that I'd lost this money. And grown-ups can be taken up with their own worries. But Jesus isn't like that. He knows. He hears. He understands. And so we've seen that Jesus grew in body and in mind and in strength and wisdom. Now, for most people, growing in stature in body is quite straightforward. You just eat and you sleep and you run and you play and it just happens. But growing in wisdom is a very different matter. Doesn't just happen. In fact, there are many people that jog around Highbury Fields, maybe some of them, or they're out, and there are many people whose bodies are healthy and strong and attractive, but who are not at all wise, but rather foolish. They might even be very clever, but that's not real wisdom. Wisdom about God, wisdom about yourself, wisdom about the right way to think and to live. You need help to grow in wisdom. And all the help that you need is in our verses, because Jesus is the perfect example. And so our second point this morning is that you must learn just like him. Jesus grew just like you, and you must learn just like him. Listen to verse 46. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Imagine you wanted to grow a plant, to grow a flower or plant. So now, what do plants grow from? Plants grow from seeds, don't they? So you get yourself a packet of seeds and you put them on the shelf above your bed. Is that going to work? They're going to grow in the packet. It's not going to work, is it? They're in the wrong place. They need to be in a pot. So you buy a pot and you put them in the pot. Is that going to work? Oh, you need to put something else in the pot, don't you? You fill the pot with sand or water. No, you need soil. They need to be in the right. They need to be in the right place, surrounded by the right things. And then they need water. And then they need sunshine. Everything needs to be right. And it's the same with learning. And verse 46, just as we've had verse 52 told us everything we need to know about how children grow, these things tell us everything we need to know about how to learn. And it's not just for children. It's for all of us. Four really important things about learning. Jesus was in the right place with the right people listening and asking questions. So let's look at those four things. First, he was in the right place. Where did Jesus learn? Well, first of all, he learned at home, and then probably in the village school from when he was about six. But it was very different from your school, because ages 6 to 10, the only textbook would be the Bible. But now in our verses, he's 12. And in Jewish culture, a boy comes of age at 12. That's when he gets the house key, as it were. That's when he's grown up. Well, it was at 13. So Jesus is just about to get there. He's preparing for it. So this is his first, maybe his first time to the temple, we don't know. But here he is preparing to come of age, and he's in Jerusalem. But where is he? He's not exploring the streets. He's not drawn to the sights and sounds of the markets. He's not admiring the Roman soldiers in their shiny armour. He's in the temple, because that was the place to learn, in the temple courts. And Jesus was there. That was where the teachers explained the Bible and taught about the scriptures. And so Jesus was in the right place. And actually, you're in the right place already here this morning. We often apply the Bible, but here we can just tick. You're in the right place because you're here at church. This is the place to learn. You can also learn at home and at school, but this is the place to be. And Jesus wasn't just in the right place. He was with the right people. He's not playing with the children. He's not hanging around with the animal sellers in the temple courts. He was sitting among the teachers. And that's how you learn. Now, perhaps this is a lesson to you in a different way. And all of us, the people that you're with affect how you learn. You need to try and be with people who want to learn. Yes, it's good to be friendly. It's very bad to be snobby and to think you're too good for others. But be especially friendly with those who want to learn. You know, some people are like air or water or sand, but you need to be with soil people if you're going to grow in wisdom. You need to be with children who want to learn, and with grown-ups who can teach, who can explain things simply and clearly. And in general, where you have a choice, always choose to be with people who will do you good, or people you can do good to. When you're younger, start with being with people who can do you good. If you're with wise people, you're on your way to becoming wise. And if you're always with fools, you'll become foolish, which is an awful thing. It will make you miserable, and your parents too. But it's not enough to be in the right place with the right people. One thing is more important than anything else, and it's true for grown-ups just as much as children. Are you listening? That's it. You need to be listening. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them. listening at home, listening at school, listening at church. Listen, two ears, one mouth. That's God's recipe. Twice as much listening as speaking. Are you trying hard to listen this morning? You say, but what if I don't understand? But that's the fourth thing. In the right place with the right people, listening and asking questions. It's all there for us, isn't it? How to learn. It's, God's word is so rich. This is true for grown-ups too. In fact, often you children are better at asking questions than grown-ups are. We get embarrassed. And so it just goes round us, and we don't ask when we don't understand or when it sounds a bit cooky. But sometimes children do. They just say, well, what's happening? I don't get that. And that's good. So if you don't understand me, if I use long words or ideas that you're not sure about, or you don't agree and you think, well, it's not like that, Phil, ask your parents, ask me, ask Andrew. That's why taking notes is so good. I still take notes when I listen to a sermon, because when you listen or when you read your Bible at home, you can write down questions. Otherwise, you'll forget. You say, I'm sure I had a good question from that, but I don't remember what it was. Even at age 12, Jesus was the perfect example to us. These are the keys to learning. Be in the right place with the right people, listening and asking questions. Being with the right people might be being with the right authors. As we get older, reading helpful, wholesome books. Always listening, always asking questions. Never getting too old for that. And one final challenge about learning from these verses, and especially for you children, you need to keep at it. Keep at it. Well, this was the third day, but keep at it even when parents aren't watching. If you had three parent-free days, 3 days without mum or dad anywhere, how would you spend them? What would you be doing? You know, there are two sorts of children. One, there are those who are happy doing nothing. And two, there are those who get up to mischief. Jesus wasn't idling, nor was he up to mischief. That's why we read in verse 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Because he'd been learning throughout his young life, and he was learning now. Now, you won't ever have the understanding and answers like Jesus, because all of our minds and our spirits are spoiled by sin in a way that Jesus' wasn't. But we can all achieve a surprising amount of real wisdom. We can have real spiritual understanding. We can have helpful answers to people who ask us. And it's a great time if you're young, your memories are fresh and strong. One of the things I find most depressing in my life is I read books, read about a book a week, and then in a fortnight, in a month, I've forgotten what's in the book. I usually have a vague idea as to whether it was helpful at the time, so I can recommend it, but I just don't remember. Is that what that? Some of you don't suffer with that, so you can pray for your ailing pastor who finds it deeply frustrating. But when you're children, when you're young people, this is the time, the best time for reading. I did all of my best reading BC, before children. Jesus is a great example, how to learn. But not just how to learn, how to behave in general. That's our final main point this morning. We've seen Jesus grew just like you. You must learn just like him. You must walk as Jesus did. Walk there in little commas, because that means live, behave, act. That's what we read in 1 John chapter 2. Whoever says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought to walk in the same way that he, Jesus, walked. And these verses in Luke 2 give us two golden rules for children. What does it mean to walk like Jesus did? What does it mean how should we be? Two golden rules for children. There's also things here for as older ones. Golden rule number one, obey mum and dad. Or if it's mum or dad, if there's just one, there's a primary caregiver, but obey mum and dad. Now, this is one of God's Ten Commandments, the Maker's instructions on how to live. Honour your father and your mother. And it's for grown-ups too, but the way that we honour our older parents is different. It's not obedience, it's honour. And yet here, for children, obey mum and dad. And Jesus did just that. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Now, one thing that's the same for children and grown-ups is that when we hear something we don't want to hear, we start making excuses. We say, yes, but. I wonder if you ever say, yes, but. Yes, but. Shall I tell you some of the excuses that children make when they hear this command? Maybe you make these excuses sometimes. Yes, but. Yes, but they're not perfect. Hey, mum and dad, yes, but they're not perfect. But neither was Mary. In verse 48, she told Jesus off. But it wasn't his fault. They'd gone without him. Probably she was in one group and Joseph was in the other group, and they both assumed that Jesus was with the other one. But when they find him there, and they're so relieved and sometimes, you know, emotional, and then, so Mary tells Jesus off. She shouldn't have been telling Jesus off. She was wrong. Mary wasn't perfect. But Jesus didn't make that an excuse, did he? We read, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Yes, but they're not perfect. How about this one? Yes, but they don't understand. Teens say that, don't they? Maybe younger ones do. Yes, but they don't understand. I wonder if you've ever said that. It's all right for them, but they don't know what it's like. Jesus' parents didn't understand. We read that in chapter 2 and verse 50. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Obey mum and dad, yes, but they're not perfect. Neither was Mary. Yes, but they don't understand. Neither did Jesus' parents. Unlike most children, Jesus really did understand more than his parents, even at this point. But still he submitted to them. Because that's God's rule for us. And if Jesus did, surely we must. And here's a final excuse. Yes, but other people don't. The kids at school talk back to their parents. They do what they want. They know how to manipulate mum or dad. Or maybe it's the kids in films or books. They're stubborn, or they outsmart their parents and they get away with it. Remember kids' books that we read in our house, Sophie Dicking Smith, stubborn girl, something had been spared to spoil the girl. She was the hero. There was a book in the book list, How to Train Mum and Dad. Thought, yeah, manipulation. Yes, but other people don't. So what? You should obey God. And that means obeying mum, dad, primary caregiver. If Jesus did, then you should. You should always obey your parents, unless they tell you to do something that God absolutely forbids, or forbid you from doing something that God absolutely commands. And that's very unlike in our situation. Obey mum and dad, that's golden rule number one for children. What's golden rule number two? Put God first. That's the most important thing of all. So Jesus says in verse 49, it's a very interesting little exchange. Mary says, his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Mary needs to remember that though Joseph is Jesus' adopted father, he's the man of the house to whom Jesus submits and looks up to. Joseph is not Jesus' father. Jesus' father is God, my father. And Jesus says, I had to be, it's hard to translate, I had to be in my father's house. Or if you look, there's a tiny little number and there's a footnote in the Bible, and at the bottom it says, I had to be about my father's business. There isn't a word house and there isn't a word business. It says, I had to be in my father's things. There isn't a word for things, but there isn't a word for things in Greek. In my father's stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. Put God first. Are you too young to put God first? If you're old enough to understand that question, you're not too young. What does it mean for you to put God first? It certainly means obeying God, doing the things he commands, but the example here is being into God's stuff, being interested. Are you old enough to talk? Then you can talk to God. You can pray to him. Praying is just talking. If you can talk, you can talk to God. You might close your eyes so you're not distracted, and so you remember that though you can't see him, he can see you. Tell him about the things that trouble you. Say sorry to him when you do something wrong. Ask him to help you really mean it. Always remember that the only way to come to God is through Jesus. Are you old enough to read? Then you can read the Bible. You can learn verses. I remember a very small young man who learned his first Bible verse that he learned. God is light, God is love, 1 John. That's back in my old church. It was about 2. God is light, God is love, 1 John. You can start when you're very small. Are you old enough to follow a simple sermon? I know you are, because you've been following this morning. Keep doing that. Be determined to find out more. Put God first. And here's a challenge for all of us. I've been nailing you kids, haven't I? Now let's just take it out a bit. Maybe we might be nodding, parents, and yes, yes, our children should do that. They should be obeying mum and dad. They should be putting God first. I do hope they're listening. But are you putting God first? Do your children see you reading the Bible because you want to? Not just with them, but for you. Have they ever rushed into a room and found you on your knees praying for them? Do they know that you pray? And what about meeting with God's people? Mary was there at the feast. Women didn't need to be there at the feast. Mary had a house full of children by now. It was a long journey. It was a big inconvenience, a significant cost, but she was there every year. It was their yearly custom. You know, too many Christians take the approach, yes, Pastor, I'll be there as long as I've nothing else on. You'll definitely see me. It's not how we put God first. It's not how we demonstrate to our children and our young people what it means to put God first. Are you putting God first? We say it to our children. This is for all of us. So we've looked at how you should copy Jesus. But there's one big problem. You can't. You can't. Not perfectly and not without God's help. But I can't copy God perfectly. I hope you're saying that in your heart. If you're thinking you can, try hard this week. Love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Every hour of the day, from the moment you wake to the moment you fall asleep, and every single person you meet and come across, treat them just like you would want to be treated, cheerfully, consistently, enthusiastically. You adults can do it as well. And then we learn, don't we? We can't copy Jesus perfectly. And that's why the good news about Jesus is such good news. Every time, every single time you're naughty, God is angry. Every cross word, every angry thought, every stamped foot, every slammed door, every argument and fight, every no to mum and dad, every okay to mum and dad, which is really a no in your heart. But God is ready to treat you as if you lived Jesus' life. God is ready to treat you as if you never did anything wrong at all, ever. That's the deal with the gospel. That's the good news. It's not about trying hard to be good. It's about realizing that Jesus has been good for us. And he's taken all of our sin when he died on the cross. All the things that we deserve to be judged for, Jesus has dealt with them. You can be as good as Jesus in God's book, in God's eyes, simply by putting your faith, your trust in him. That's the gospel. God counts Jesus' perfect life as if you lived it. So what do you need to do for that to be true? In a way, I've been talking this whole sermon about copying Jesus, being like Jesus, but in a way you need to be like Mary and Joseph. Why? Because they searched and searched and searched until they found Jesus. They weren't happy till they found him. And you need to do the same. Children, grown-ups, if you you don't yet know the Lord Jesus, you need to search and search and search till you know him. Keep listening, keep thinking, keep asking questions, keep finding out. Pray to God every day that he'll make you a Christian. And don't give up till you're 100% sure that he has. Search and search, and don't be happy until you've found Jesus for yourself. That really is the most important thing of all. So lots of truth this morning for children, for all of us. Jesus grew just like you. You must learn just like him. Top tips for learning. You must walk as Jesus did, but you can't do that. So God has put his spirit into your heart. You can't do that until you've found Jesus for yourself. So you need to search until you have. May God bless us. May all of us search to find him, even though many of us know him for ourselves. Amen. Amen.